jobs bill that's moving forward.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The U.S. Senate has voted to advance a $15 billion job creation bill. It's a Democratic measure, yet five Republicans, including newly elected Scott Brown of Massachusetts, crossed the aisle to support it. But how does a jobs bill fit into a fragile economic recovery? Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live to talk about it. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Steve.
This Senate vote makes the jobs bill likely, but what about the more stimulus? Is that still in play?
Well, there's a meeting today at the House Committee on Financial Services on whether an additional stimulus is needed to stimulate job growth. The last year's stimulus bill helped restart the economy, and the GDP grew at 4% in the last half of 2009, but unemployment's hovering at 10%. I spoke to Lawrence Mitchell of the Economic Policy Institute. He's one of the people addressing the Congressional Committee later today about the need to create jobs.
We need to be generating 300,000 or 400,000 a month in order to be, really get back to the unemployment rate that's reasonable.
But hold on here, Gregory. Isn't that what we just did yesterday, this jobs creation bill? I mean, isn't that going to create new jobs?
Well, sure. That's a $15 billion bill that could create 100 or 200,000 jobs over the year. The message Congress will hear today is we need more.
Gregory Warner joining us from Philadelphia. Gregory, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's check the numbers. European shares mostly lower right now. The FTSE is pretty much flat. Stocks closed mixed in Asia today. Wall Street yesterday, investors moving cautiously, keeping an eye on earnings. The Dow lost 18 points to close at 10,383, and all signs point to a lower open today as well. Here are a few more earnings reports. Home Depot saying today it swung to a fourth quarter profit, thanks in part to cost cutting. And Sears Holdings said it had the best fourth quarter in 3 years. Sears Holdings, of course, the parent company of Sears and Kmart. Retail sector, of course, struggling, and so too housing and job markets. Here's something realtors are seeing more of: multi-generational families looking to live with one another. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Let's call it the rise of the latchkey family. At Coldwell Banker, nearly half of realtors nationwide are seeing more customers in the market for homes for the newly extended family.
So either mom and dad coming to live in the house or maybe the teenagers coming back to live.
Researcher Diane Patton says this could help the move-up market, people looking to accommodate an aging relative with special health needs or an unemployed 20-something with special musical needs.
We have seen attic accommodations. We've seen the daylight basement, purchasing property where other family members can build on the same lot.
Many people can't afford to have a separate apartment.
Susan Newman is a social psychologist who's just written a book on multi-generational living.
If you're adding on an addition for your parents, you might want to let them contribute if they can so that they feel they own it.
Newman says that cost sharing can lead to smoother family relations under one roof. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services.
You know, winter sports fans continue to converge on Vancouver for the Olympics, and other ski and snow areas around North America are using environmental credentials to bring people through their gates, such as a resort near Lake Tahoe. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Jennifer Collins checks it out.
I'm on a ski lift dangling above Lake Tahoe with Rachel Woods. She promotes Homewood Mountain Resort and its green credentials.
We could throw a snowball in the lake.
Woods keeps a close eye on the resort, skiing its slopes in winter and jogging them in summer. Near the summit, we get off the lift to look around.
Where we're walking right now was one of the spots where logging happened.
Years before it became a ski resort, the property provided access to logging and mining operations. Miles of roads from those days still crisscross the land. The problem is, every spring, snowmelt and rains carry dirt right off those roads and into Lake Tahoe. The lake loses on average a foot of clarity per year. Several nearby communities draw their drinking water from the lake.
So one of the major visions behind maintaining Homewood was to eliminate those roads, to get rid of them.
Homewood has spent more than $500,000 tilling and planting about 240,000 square feet of old roads, making barren strips into something more like meadows. Ski resorts across the country are under pressure to restore environmental damage, whether that damage happened last year or decades ago. Jonathan Cook Fisher is with the Forest Service, which oversees the majority of U.S. ski areas.
We're very much more geared and focused on sustainable slopes.
With or without regulatory pressure, resorts may need to show they're greening up their slopes to attract more visitors. Mike Hogan is with Integrated Environmental Restoration Services. He's the consultant in charge of the Homewood projects.
More young people are coming along who are better educated about the environment, understand what's going on, and will put their money into a more environmentally savvy entity.
Hogan says it's still a small segment of the market, but
1 or 2% can make a difference.
And the resort is betting that'll be enough to bring business to the hotel rooms and condos it plans to build over the next few years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, athletes at the Winter Games feel the high of winning and performing in front of the camera. Some spectators in Vancouver are getting high. Marijuana business is booming there, according to Canada's self-proclaimed Prince of Pot, Mark Emery. Emery's wanted here in the United States for selling pot seeds by mail to Americans. In Vancouver, though, shops openly sell those seeds, and police turn mostly a blind eye. Interest is so high that Emery said over the weekend he spent hours performing in front of other cameras, people taking pictures with him and his bong. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online, marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.